Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The reason for this is that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And of course, sin cannot please God. The knowledge of what the Scripture means when urging upon us the necessity of cultivating faith is more essential than any other knowledge that can be acquired. What is faith? How is it acquired? And how can it be exercised? Just a moment ago, we read from Romans 14:23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In order to know what the Scripture means, we must first know what faith is. Without knowing what faith is, what good does it do to tell someone they need to cultivate it? Even if it is clear from the Scriptures, I know for a fact that there are many, even among church members, who don't really have any idea what faith is. They may know what the definition of faith is, but they do not know what the thing is. They simply don't grasp the idea that's in the definition. So, as we begin this study, let's not dwell on the definition, but rather, let's look at some places in the Bible where faith can be seen in action. Where can we see clearly the very thing itself? In Romans 10:17, we find that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So let's turn to that Word and see what that Word has for us. In Matthew 8, we find that a Roman centurion came to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Here is a good example of what Jesus pronounces as faith. When we find what that is, then we too have found faith. There can be no doubt about this, for we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, that Christ is the author of faith. And he says, that which the centurion showed was faith, yes, even great faith. In what the centurion did, where is the faith? Let's look at it. The centurion wanted a certain thing to be done, and he wanted the Lord to do it. But when the Lord said, "I will come and do it," the centurion stopped him, saying, "Speak the word only, and it shall be done." What did the centurion expect to do the work? The word only. What did he depend on for the healing of his servant? Upon the word only. Now, what is faith? Faith is the expecting of the word of God to do what it says, and the depending upon that word to do what it says. That is faith. And since faith comes by the Word of God, it is plain that the Word of God, in order to gradually implant or instill faith, it must teach that the Word has, in itself, power to accomplish what it says. This is precisely the truth of the matter. The Word of God does teach this, and nothing else. Titus 1:9 tells us that God's Word is the faithful Word, the Word full of faith. Many people have been taught and brought to understand that the Old Testament is given to show us how people in that time period were saved from sin by their own works. They are also taught that the New Testament has been given to show how we are saved by grace through faith. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, friends, but that is just not the truth at all. Much, in fact, the greater part of the first chapter of the Bible is instruction in faith. That chapter has in itself no fewer than 6 distinct statements that definitely instill faith. If we include the first verse, there are actually 7. God instills faith by teaching us that the Word of God itself accomplishes the thing that is spoken in that Word. If I were to point to the evening sky and proclaim, "Look, there are two moons. You could lock me up in the loony bin because you would know that I was hallucinating. But if God were to say, look, there are two moons, there would be two moons. You could be sure of that, for the Word of God is a living Word. It works. Let's read the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did He create them? Psalm 33, verse 6 tells us that it was by the word of the Lord that the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth, for He spake, and it was. Before He spoke, it was not. After He spoke, it was. Only by speaking, it was. What caused it to be? The word only. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God wanted there to be light. But how could there be light when all was darkness? Again He spoke, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Where did the light come from? It came from the word that was spoken. The word itself produced the light. We read in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. There was no atmosphere, no air. God knew that the rest of His creation needed air. It needed a firmament. How could it be produced? God said, let there be a firmament. And it was so. Another translation for it was so is, and it came to pass. What caused the firmament to be? What caused this to come to pass? The word only. God spoke, and it was so. The word spoken itself caused the thing to exist. This is the way it worked in creation, and it is the same in redemption. Christ healed the sick. He cast out devils. He stilled the tempest. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He forgave sins. All of this by His word. The New Testament and the work of Christ is just like it was in the Old Testament. He spake, and it was. Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is always the Creator, and always He does all things by His word only. He can do all things by His word because it is the very characteristic of the Word of God that His word carries divine power. It accomplishes the thing that is spoken. That's why it is that faith is the knowing that in the Word of God there is this power, the expecting the Word itself to do the thing spoken, and the depending on that Word itself to do that which the Word speaks. The teaching of faith, then, is the teaching that the Word of God accomplishes what it says. When we exercise faith as the centurion did, we are simply expecting the Word of God to do what it says, and we depend on it to do the thing that is spoken. Cultivating faith is the practice of causing confidence in the power of God to grow, confidence in the power of the Word of God itself to accomplish what the Word says. The knowledge of what the Scripture means when urging upon us the necessity of cultivating faith is more essential than any other knowledge that can be acquired. Are you cultivating faith?
And tempest.
Yes, faith is expecting the Word of God itself to do what the Word says and depending upon that Word itself to do what the Word says. When this principle of faith is clearly understood, the definition of faith also becomes clear, and it is perfectly easy to see how Paul, the author of the book written to the Hebrews in chapter 11, can say that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Since the Word of God has within it creative power and is able to produce the very thing that the Word speaks, it is plain enough that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The one who exercises faith knows that the Word of God is creative and that it is able to produce the things spoken. He can therefore understand, not guess, that the worlds were produced, were caused to exist, by the Word of God. When the Word was spoken, the worlds simply were. Before the Word was spoken, they did not exist. The Word itself caused them to exist. This is the difference between the Word of God and the Word of man. Man may speak, but there is no power in his words to perform the thing spoken. If the thing is to be accomplished at all which he has spoken, the man must do something in addition to speaking the word. He must make his word good. Not so with the Word of God. When God speaks, it is. The word becomes a reality simply because he has spoken. He speaks the word only, and the thing is accomplished. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13 we read, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe, in you that exercise faith." Ephesians 2:8 tells us that faith is the gift of God, and in Romans 12:3 that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This measure of faith that God hath dealt to every man is the capital, the assets, the money in your faith bank account. God gives the same faith to everyone that comes into this world, and everyone is expected to cultivate this asset to the salvation of their soul. There is not much said in the Scriptures about any necessity of our having faith, while very, very much is said about our cultivating faith. The reason for this is that to all people, there is given faith to begin with, and all they need to do is to cultivate faith. Nobody can have more faith than is already given him without cultivating the faith that has already been given. And there is nothing known to man that will grow so fast as faith when it is cultivated. Faith groweth exceedingly. Faith is the expecting that the Word of God itself will accomplish what that Word says, and the depending upon the Word only to accomplish what the Word says. To cultivate dependence on the Word of God, the Word only itself, to do what the Word says, is to cultivate faith. Be sure to join us in our next broadcast when we continue our discussion of faith and how faith works in each of our Christian lives. You may also join us for Bible study and worship any Sabbath morning. We're located right in the middle of the little town of Lancaster. Bible study begins at about 9:30, and the worship service begins at about 11. We look forward to having you study and worship with us.